love more than beating the devil. Hey. Amen. There's nothing that I love more than seeing God's people get free. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, we can have a couple of announcements. I got everything discombobulated, but it's all right. Tuesday, July the 18th at 7 o'clock p.m., we have our praise and worship jam session and rehearsal. Make sure that you're interested in that ministry, that you come on out for that. We need committed people in order to support our new worship leader, Brother Rick Reed, as he goes forward. Amen. I want Lady Martin to sit next to me and worship and praise God. It's time for us to transition on now. She'll still come up here and make cameos, but Brother Rick Reed is our new worship leader. So I want those of you that are interested to support him in that. And so he has my full confidence as he goes around and recruits those that want to sing unto God. Also on Wednesday, July the 19th at 7 p.m., we have Gideon Circle Men's Fellowship, which presents King's Court. Please see Brother Ryan. Where's Brother Ryan Carroll? There he is. All right. He's our athletic supporter and director. Make sure that you talk with him about that if you want to go ahead and get some exercise. Bring the men, bring your sons, bring your brothers on out for that as well. We'll be in a new location. I believe it's called the Inglewood Community Center. And you'll be able to get more details on that. And also on Thursday, July the 20th, at 7 o'clock p.m., Soul Therapy Live Family Edition presents Minute to Win It. Do we have a clip of that? Oh, Lord, it's okay. Well, last Thursday, we saw people juking in the name of the Lord. Last Thursday, we had a time of fellowship, and the Winsley family, I don't know, it was kind of unfair advantage because Sister Winsley is a dancer by trade, and she was just up there doing all this other stuff like that. And then we tried, the other people tried to compete, but it didn't just work out. So they won. But hopefully this time around, you'll have another opportunity to fellowship one with another. I'm still looking for those that I beat up on spades, Mr. and Mrs. Martin. But it's all right. It's all right. Hopefully they can redeem themselves with this particular game right here, which is called Minute to Win It. If you get a chance, go to YouTube and you'll see some of the things that we'll be doing here in the sanctuary on Thursday night. These are good times for us to be able to fellowship one with another, because when August comes, that's when we're going to go back and start preaching the word and start kicking off the new school year, which is only a couple of weeks away. Amen. We're going to be talking about leadership, because you're going to have to lead those children right as they go right back into the halls of academia. All right. Amen. Also, as we said before, we have our 0 to 3. Those of you that have children that are 0 to 3 years old, we have the concierge area as well as our lobby area if they do need assistance and need care. Also, the Snack Shack will be open today in the Empower Community Center. We have a team of people that's going to be assisting you with that. I do want to say a nice little happy birthday to Akara. Amen. Sister Takara is out this weekend with her baby this weekend celebrating her birthday. So I wanted to tell you, happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. You like the version? Do you? Happy birthday. I wanted to say happy birthday to you. She always makes me smile when she comes up and tackles me right in the middle of service. Amen. So make sure when it comes to the Snack Shack that you stop by for your hot food and cold beverages. And as last but not least, we still have t-shirts that are on sale in the lobby for $15. Please see Deacon Penn to make your purchase. You'll see those as you are on your way out. All hearts and minds clear? Amen. Amen. I got a little worship before I get in. What was the very first song? Y'all remember that?
Here I am.
Perfect.
To worship.
Wonderful.
Here I am to bow.
I call
down.
This a spiritual cool down.
Here I am to say that you're my God. You're all together.
All together.
All together.
One more time, those of you in the audience, sing.
Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're all together lovely. All together.
share the word with you this morning. Thank you, singers. That's something that's near and dear to my heart, and you can actually call it a part two to last week. But let's get into the scripture for this morning. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 12 through 18 is our verse of scripture this morning, our focus and our intent this morning. And it says in verse 12, I, the preacher, was king over Jerusalem or over Israel in Jerusalem. And I set my heart to seek and search out by wisdom concerning all that is done under heaven. This burdensome task God has given to the sons of man by which they may be exercised. I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and indeed all is vanity and grasping for the wind. What is crooked cannot be made straight, and what is lacking cannot be numbered. I communed with my heart, saying, look, I have attained greatness and have gained more wisdom than all who were before me in Jerusalem. My heart has understood great wisdom and knowledge, and I set my heart to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. I perceive that this also is grasping for the wind. For in much wisdom is much grief. And he, somebody felt that. Verse 18 repeating, for in much wisdom there is much grief. And he who increases knowledge increases sorrow. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Heavenly Father. The title of this morning's message is Soul Controller, subtitle, A Journey to Emotional, Mental, and Spiritual Health. Amen. If you were to give an emotional assessment of the person in the text that I just was speaking of this morning, what would be your conclusion? The gentleman that I was reading about in Ecclesiastes is King Solomon, and he starts off in verse 12 with saying, I, the preacher, was king over Jerusalem in Israel. So once again, if you were to give an emotional assessment of that particular person, King Solomon, in this text, what would be your conclusion? Would you think that he was an anxious man? Would you think that he is a stable man? A confused, frustrated, or annoyed man, a depressed man, or a man who has an image to uphold because he is a king and one deemed to be wise above all others as granted by God? A lot going on with that man. But before you ponder over an answer or give an educated guess this morning, even if you jot down notes or watch this video later on, I want you to see this through a different set of lens, not an academic one or religious one, but a personal one. To be candid, I can tell you that we all have experienced, visited, and maybe even secretly taken residence at least in one of those emotional states. You know, the state of confusion. You see what I did there? The state of depression, or the state of Florida during the summer. I'm just kidding. King Solomon, to make it simple, illustrates a person who is conflicted, but he at least knows that there is something wrong. Yeah. But like any great man or great woman or someone who has greatness on the inside of them, they can't quite put their finger on it. He couldn't quite put his finger on it. So that's why he had to go outside and he had to consider all of the things that people were doing around him. He had to say, this is vanity. This doesn't make any sense. But the other thing that I'm perplexed by is that you would think that a man who has it all, the knowledge, the wealth, the people that are around him, you would think that someone like this wouldn't be so conflicted in his spirit. you would think that he would have a better control over things. But as the text states, this moment of time for him seems to be different. The time when he goes outside is an epiphany of sorts that propels him into the front row of a fast-moving emotional roller coaster. I understand that's what he's feeling, but I know nothing. I have it all. You see the top of the roller coaster? But I feel worthless. I'm aware of my surroundings, but I am lost and feel like I am grasping at the wind. Oscar Levant summarizes and gives a quote in his quick monologue that summarizes and illustrates this great man of God's condition. And he says, and I quote, "There is a thin line between insanity and genius, and I have erased that line." King Solomon was, in the old Elizabethan vernacular, vexed, that's what it says in the King James Version, or had vexation in his spirit. For those of you that don't understand all of the church talk, if you can go back into the 80s, I remember this song that says, "It was a manic Monday, I wish it was Friday." That's what he was having. Or, okay, you don't understand that. You were born in the 80s, so you forget that. You don't know that one. How about he was feeling some kind of way? Okay, you're that. All right. So he was feeling some kind of way, but he had all wisdom and knowledge and money at his grasp. He could get any woman he wanted. He had the right type of bloodline, but yet he was still having a manic Monday. Maybe month, or maybe a year. And he goes outside and he begins to consider all that is going on in his life, and he says, "It's all vanity, and these things are perplexing to me." He was feeling some kind of way, some type of way. Or better yet, let me bring it to even Generation Y. He was, at this time, triggered. You ever heard that? He was triggered. People get triggered all over the place. It's when something that is so unpleasing to you in your current condition, in your current situation, it reminds you of something that was so unpleasing from your past that it throws you completely off. He was triggered. There's a lesson in all of this, and even as we continue for a second week on the couch of the great physician, I want to unpack some signs of someone who's emotionally unhealthy and some keys on how to, number one, understand your emotional state, number two, become emotionally mature, and number three, learn from scripture on ways to push past certain feelings so that you can walk in total victory in Christ Jesus. Amen. Peter Scazzaro, in his book, The Emotionally Healthy Spirituality, said that emotional health and spiritual maturity cannot be separated. It is impossible, watch this, to be spiritually mature while remaining emotionally immature. You ever wonder why you always feel in some kind of way, why you're always in tears, and when somebody says something little, small, little thing to you, and it just throws off the rest of your week? See, one of the things, as I do a little monologue, Brother Jamari, if you turn me down, just a small little tidbit, one of the things that I wanted to confess is that as the body of Christ, and many of us that are leaders, we do not always address the mental condition of those that are sitting in the audience. You may be healthy, you may look okay, and you may even love Jesus from the rooter to the tooter, but your mind is another thing all together. So I want to deal with this morning. Even Joyce Myers tapped into this. She has a wonderful book that is called The Battlefield of the Mind. And so today I'm going to try to help you navigate through some of those emotional mind fields that you have in your life. So let's dig deep this morning, because I not only want you to be saved spiritually, but also physically, mentally, and emotionally. The soul controller. You see, man has three parts to himself. He has a body, that's this part. He has a spirit, which is regenerated, But then he also has a mind, and mind and soul are actually interchangeable with one another. That is the seat of your emotions. That's who you are. That is your personality. See, your spirit is regenerated when you are born again. But your body, on another hand, it is corrupted. In other words, that's the reason why when you're born, you actually start dying slowly. Everybody is. That's one thing that is the great equalizer, is that people will die eventually. But until then, you can live a maximized life. And some of that maximization of that life comes from how you see things. If you allow for Jesus Christ to renew your thinking about specific things that are going on around and even on the inside of you. I believe those of us can really enjoy our faith if we can really understand who we are and how we came to be. And our thought processes that kick in place where certain things happen in our life. It's going to make sense in just a minute. So I have about 10 things that I want to see and I want to try to uncover this morning to possibly help you understand even yourself as a saved person. Because sometimes we live in a time of conflicted emotions and we want to do right by God, but this thing up here, good God Almighty. I believe Paul was the one who said that I want to do, I don't do it. Folk give me advice, but I don't give a flip about what they gotta say. Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? But thank God for Jesus Christ. Therefore, I will boast in my infirmities. Therefore, when I am weak, he is strong. So come closer to the couch of the great physician. I'm just the physician's assistant this morning. Let's all lay down, because even myself, I believe this is going to be beneficial to me. And that is number one. Number one that lets you know that you might be having some trouble, no trouble emotionally in the spirit. And number one is using God to run from God. Wow. Using God to run from God. I'm going to repeat them in case you want to write them down, but don't worry about writing them down because it's on video. We're technologically advanced in this day and time. Number one, using God to run from God. Amen. Here's an example. My prayers are usually about God doing my will, not me surrendering to his will. In other words, if you want to find a biblical character that illustrates this particular point, it's Jonah and the whale. Jonah was a particular man that wanted to use God to get away from God. He wanted to do what he wanted to do, and he was conflicted. And you know the emotions that he was experiencing? He was experiencing pride and fear. Fear of failure. God told him to go to Nineveh to minister to those hard people that are in the neighborhood. I know they don't listen to you. And I know they have a hard time with preachers. I know that they've had people run all through there asking them for all this money. But I want you to go one more time because I believe they are worth saving. And he says, I ain't finna do it. No, I ain't finna do it. No, I ain't finna do it. And then he proceeds to sail away. He gets on a barge or a ship with other individuals that don't even know God. And then a tempestuous wind begins to get stirred up. In the New Testament, it's called Euroclydon. And it was a storm that was stirred up, all because he was being hard-headed and fearful and didn't want to do what God had told him to do. The people that were on that particular boat were saying, you have brought some type of curse to me and to this particular vessel. What's going on here? And then he said, well, just throw me overboard and everything will calm down. You ever seen somebody versus them doing what God told them to do? They'll throw a pity party instead. This particular man was using God to run from God. Thankfully enough, his pride was broken, but only after he went through a hellish situation. This text says that he was wrapped up in seaweed and he was going down and sinking deep on his way to hell. But then something came up and brought him back to life. And that is a symbol and type of death, burial, and resurrection. No, you missed it. Death to who and what you want to be. Burial of how you want your life to go. But then resurrection, because now you have submitted to the will of God. So don't use God to run from God. Number two, maybe this is down your row and in inside of your kitchen. Number two, ignoring the emotions of anger, sadness, and fear.
I'm not your superwoman. I'm not the kind of clip and you make everything all right. Boy, I am only human.
Everybody in the 80s are like, what song is that? What song is that? Well, you know, just look up I'm Not Your Superwoman, and then it'll minister to you. Every lady, when I was coming up through high school and in middle school, and there was people that were 10, 11 years old talking about stuff. Boy, I'm not your superwoman. I was like, you barely even have a bra on. What you talking about? What you talking about? But this particular individual, if I were to give you an example of this particular mindset, it's a person who says, I am rarely honest with myself and or feelings and hurts and pains beneath the surface of my life. I tend to ignore that I'm angry. I tend to ignore that I'm sad. I tend to ignore that I'm fearful. And this type of mindset is typically emblematic of individuals who are seen to be the strong ones. You can't show, or you know how the commercial says, never let them see you sweat? That's gotten a lot of people into trouble. Elijah is an example of this particular person in the text who had it all together. Did you know that Isaiah had suicidal thoughts? Elijah had suicidal thoughts. He called fire down from heaven. He eliminated 250 prophets of Baal. He was able to hear God perform miracles, signs, and wonders, but yet he was having suicidal moments. He hid himself in the cleft of a rock. He hid himself inside of a cave in deep depression. You know the emotions that he was experiencing in his life as such a strong on the outside person? It was anxiety and burnout. Anxiety is defined as irrational fear about things that you cannot control. And on the outside, you are like this, but your eyes twitching a little bit. But on the inside, you're like, I don't know if I'm going to get fired tomorrow. I don't know if I'm going to get let go. I don't know if she's going to still want me. I don't know if my children are going to act right. And these things keep you up at night. And then you try to do a whole lot. But the person that is on the outside and the person on the inside, they're fighting each other. And now the person on the inside, you can't control them anymore. And now you're fracturing at the seams. So people of God, don't ignore how you feel. That doesn't make you strong at all. The next one is number three, dying to the wrong things. Lord have mercy. Dying to the wrong things. This is an individual who tends to deny healthy, God-given desires and pleasures of life, such as friendships. They're always alone. Joy, they're always pessimistic and got something negative to say. Music, they won't go out with anybody and hear no music because, you know, saved folk don't even celebrate like that anymore. Beauty, laughter, and even nature. At the same time, they also find it difficult to die to self-protectiveness. They're defensive. They lack vulnerability, and they tend to be judgmental. Job and his mental state after losing everything is a great example of somebody who was dying to the wrong things. He was confused because he thought that he was a good man. He was a righteous man. Even God told him. So if I'm doing what I think God wants me to do, then why do I have to have trouble in my life? Amen. Here's a newsflash. If you looked around, we're not in heaven, are we? Newsflash. Even as a Christian, this life is not going to be a perfect one. Amen. Newsflash. You may love God. Got a big old Bible on the side of your hip that is bigger as a baby that's 2 months old, but you still are going to have problems and tragedies that on the surface will seem unexplainable. You see, Job was the type of individual that had, watch this, because of his situation, he lost all of his children the side of a storm. He was filled with boils all over his body, so he was afflicted by his health. The devil was trying to come back at him and touch him over and over again, but God had a purpose behind it, because even amidst of all of his wonderful accolades, he still had a sliver of pride underneath. And God was using trouble to get that out of him so that he can really see his situation for what it is. Job was experiencing, watch this, confusion. I paid my tithe, but why did I get fired? Anger. I love my wife, but why is she tripping? She said, curse God and die. My children were all healthy when they left the doctor, but now we got into a four-car accident and they're all dead. God, where were you? Angry. He shook his fist at God. He says, no. I don't even understand why you're doing this, God. I thought I was doing the right thing. I thought I was an upstanding citizen. And then God had to correct him, because he had resentment in his heart. And he lacked contextual understanding. Sometimes when we go through troubles and tragedies, even those of us who are, quote unquote, spiritually mature, we don't really understand why God allows for certain things like that to happen to us. And it's hard to put those things into context. Why did I have to have this happen to me after all that I've done for the Lord? And not to even make it even crazier, Job had so many conflicting emotions because he had friends around him that didn't help him see the situation so clearly. He had four friends. The first friend, watch this, see, all of them were quiet for the first 3 weeks after he lost all of his children, lost all of his goods, all his cattle was burned up, and he was really sick. And he was in sackcloth and ashes. He was on his hands and knees. He wasn't feeling too good at that moment. So we had a couple of friends that were surrounding him at that moment, and they on the surface looked like they were empathizing with him, but the first particular friend began to judge him and said, maybe you deserved all this. You ever had somebody that said, well, maybe the reason why you're going through all of this is because you ain't pay your tithe? Or maybe, just maybe, the reason why you're going through this is because you ain't reading the word. You always had that, maybe. And so you had one person that was saying to this particular man, Job, maybe you're going through what you're going through because you're not right with God. The second particular friend was just as crazy. See, the second particular friend was like, you know what? I don't believe in God neither. You know what? Maybe you should just go ahead and toss her and come to the bar with me, and let's go ahead and just let loose, because God don't care, so why should we? You ever had a friend that said, let's go ahead and let's just go into a drunken stupor. Let's just sin as much as we can because God don't give a flip, neither should we. You always have that friend that will say, let's go out in your time of tragedy so you can forget. But the way that they want you to forget is a trick of the enemy, because they want you to use sin to forget your troubles, bearing you deeper into your situation. Then the third friend was like, okay, I'm not going to be judgmental. I'm not going to be the type of person that's going to say, just go all out there. But the other person was trying to rationalize everything through religion. You ever had somebody that used a whole bunch of religion to try to explain everything away? And you're like, really, really, really right now? I'm coming down your road. I really don't want to look through the scriptures at this moment. I really don't love God right now at this moment. I'm just saying. Sometimes in things in life, we feel that particular way, and we don't really want somebody to shove the word in our face at that moment. Maybe tomorrow, Sheila. Maybe tomorrow. But then he had a fourth friend. The fourth friend helped him to bring his emotional state all into context. His name was Elihu. He was the youngest of the bunch, and he said, Job, I want you to be able to see this situation clearly for what it is. Now, I'm going to tell you the truth. The reason why you're going through what you're going through is because things happen in life. Amen. God loves everybody, but he has a complacent love for those that are his. See, many people say that God reigns on the just as well as on the unjust. That's just him being merciful overall because he's good, but not because the unjust have any special type of status with him, because they don't. But Job, I want you to see your tragedy in its proper context, because God is not only the God of the mountain, but he's also the God of the valley. Yes. See, for those of you that are out there, I want you to understand that God still loves you even when you're going through. And you don't need to fall into the trap of, well, when everything is paid, everything is right, that he's with you only during those times. He's also with you when everything is not right, everything is going crazy at the house, everything is going crazy in your mind. He's there to try to settle you like Elihu. Elihu didn't try to ignore what was going on in Job's life. He tried to bring everything into context. You're going through right now, but this is what you can do in the meantime. You're going through right now. Are there any lessons that you could learn about yourself during this moment of time? I know that you're going through, but you don't need to see God as an enemy. He's actually your friend. And you need to understand that there's an enemy that's out there, and that God has a master plan at the end of the day. And so because he was able to see things clearly as a result of a friend who was emotionally mature, Job was able to hold on until he was restored double of what he lost. So that means that you have to have the right friends around you. So don't die to the wrong things. You want to crucify the right things. Number four, denying the past impact on the present. Here's an example, and maybe you say this to yourself. I rarely consider how my family of origin and significant people or events from my past have shaped my present. Here's an example. Solomon's father, King David, did you know that? Also struggled with many of the same issues. Mm-hmm. Two different generations struggling with the same thing. David loved, Solomon loved. Okay, just leave it at that. Somebody get the number. David liked to look down in the pool at the naked woman. Solomon had a whole, okay, hopefully you get. So they struggled with some of the same things. Okay, you got it now. Solomon was a product, watch this, of David's sinful relationship. That's Bathsheba's son. David and Bathsheba birthed Solomon. The sins of the father in this particular case visited the children. This is what is popularly known in charismatic circles as a generational curse. In other words, some things are your own choice, but you need to know this. There are other times or other ways that evil, or as my mama would say, familiar spirits pull down people. And sometimes it's through their environment and or bloodline. Maybe you do need to look at grandmama's life. She look at your life, and she'll say, baby, I've been there before. Don't go down that route, because she sees some of herself in. We all fight against things that are in our bloodline. Well, I didn't know my daddy. I didn't know my mama. That doesn't mean that their blood isn't in yours. The only way that you can detach from your past fully is that you are born again. But even if you're born again, you're still attached to your past, because you're still human. Yeah. I'm only human, born to make mistakes. 80s reference. So sometimes our environment does shape who we are, and so does our bloodline. And sometimes we have to look at where we are. You ever wonder why one particular family is in this particular neighborhood, and then the next generation is in that particular neighborhood, and the next generation, and the family pattern is the same for three generations going forward? Nobody's married in this particular generation. Mama has a friend. You have a friend. Your child has a friend. All of y'all have kids. All of y'all in the same neighborhood. And then when somebody tries to break out of that, the people who are in that particular family mix start insult the person who tries to break out of that, saying, you trying to act brand new. Why are you going to church every Sunday like that? Don't let that preacher take your money. Well, how would you even know who he is? Because you've never been in like 3 or 4 years. So don't be judgmental. Number five, let's scoot past that. Number five, maybe you're this person. This is an individual who divides life into secular and sacred compartments. I call these my professional Christians. Maybe this is you. Maybe you like to compartmentalize God to Christian activities while usually forgetting about him when you're working. shopping, studying, or doing your everyday motions of life. An example of this is the rich young ruler. The emotions that he was experiencing was shame and doubt. Shame and doubt. You see, the rich young ruler had it all together. He had all the money. He had a platinum Mercedes. He had everything going on in his particular life. But he had shame and doubt when it came to Jesus Christ. Jesus was approached by this particular young ruler, and he was asking him, he was saying, the wrong young ruler was saying to the man, you know what? I've done everything that I needed to do in my life. I've kept all the commandments as he was talking with Jesus, and Jesus was just looking at him. And he was like, there's this one thing that you lack. Give everything that you have away and come follow me. So he was fine keeping up with God in his private life, but then when it came to him doing a public display of his affection for the Lord, he looked away and he went away sad. This lets you know that don't let this world teach you this whole mantra of separation of church and state. And here's what I mean on a deeper level. You don't stop loving God just because you go to work. Amen. Your faith doesn't need to be so private that no one doesn't know that you love Jesus. I know you got crosses on your earrings, but there's people who kill people with crosses in their earrings. So that's not a public display of your faith. That's just you like jewelry. I know you got a Jesus piece, but do you really have Jesus piece? Do you know you have a graven image around your neck and that's not Jesus? Well, I'm messing with you now. But the man wants to sell you that in the middle of the kiosk in the mall, though. And he don't even believe in that himself. So don't put God in a box when you get a promotion. No matter where I go, I always carry this one particular stone with me for every job that I've had ever since 2007. And it is, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And I put that on my desk with my prayer hands everywhere I go. And people at my job in the technology field, they ain't really into God like that. I got a whole bunch of atheists up there. And anti-theists up there, especially in the technology field. Everything is rational. Everything is concrete. Everything is, I need to have empirical evidence, all this other stuff, and I have it sitting right there. Because I do not want to be ashamed of the thing that set me free. Because when I lose my job, guess who I'm going to be calling on? Jesus, 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 Jesus. What? Jesus, 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 Jesus. My wife can't stand that song. Jesus, 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 Jesus. But that's who I call on when I lose my job. That's who I call on when things go crazy at the house. That's who I call on. So I carry him with me everywhere I go. So maybe you're experiencing shame and doubt in your life, emotional state, soul control. Number six, and I love this. This is for all my busy bees. Busy, busy, buzz, buzz. Doing for God instead of being with God. Picture you saying this to yourself. I tend to evaluate my spirituality based on how much I am doing for God. The people in the biblical text that emblematic of this is Mary and Martha. As long as they're buzzing around in the back of the church, cooking and cleaning and baking and making candlesticks, then they feel closer to God. But you can't hear the service because you're doing too much. So this is what I call the trap of good deeds and works. Or, watch this, community service without communion. This is how you get burned out because you feel like you're doing working hard for the Lord. I'm working hard for the Lord. I'm up here standing up. I got varicose veins in the back of my knees because I'm standing up here ushering all these years. And I know there's a great blessing in me, and I know that God has something on the way. But do you know him? Do you know that he still loves you even though you sit down and you fan for a minute and take a break for 15 seconds? He still loves you. Even when you're not on post. So be careful of creating purposeful distractions to keep you from being intimate with God. For husband and wife, you ever tried to make love to your spouse and then that particular significant other is doing too much in the bedroom, doing all this other stuff around here, and you're like, come on, what's going on? What you got to do all that? It don't take all of that. Let's just kick in 3 minutes and give the best 3 minutes of your life and my life and let's go to bed. But you're trying to do all this extra stuff. It don't take all of that. And all the young people be like, oh, but the movies say something different. The movies have it going on for like 4 hours. No, they're lying. Liar, liar, pants on fire. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Which goes into number seven. Number seven, and I love this. This is going to be real good. Some people might, you know, log off Facebook. And that is an individual, or maybe you want this type of person, a person who spiritualizes away conflict. Yeah. In other words, I usually miss out on the true peace of God by smoothing over disagreements, burying tensions, and avoiding conflict, rather than disrupting false peace as Jesus did. Just because you're comfortable doesn't mean that you're hearing God. Just because your bills are paid does not mean that God and you are on a level with. Just because things are going good at the house and the kids getting straight A's and B's doesn't mean that you and God are seeing eye to eye at that particular moment. One particular individual that is emblematic of this particular mindset is Jacob. Jacob was an individual who somehow, some way, got the birthright of Esau, and Esau got so upset with him. Now, see, the thing is that Jacob was afraid. He could have talked to Esau, his older brother, and tried to hash things out, but instead of dealing with conflict, he ran. He ran so far until he ended up in a hard place called Bethel. He laid his head down on a pile or a pillow of bricks, and then he began to have dreams of angels ascending and descending. It was at that particular moment that a transformation had to take place, that he had to go from being Jacob, which is described as, or his name means being a liar or supplanter, to now being transformed into Israel. But he could only describe or he could only discover who he was when he was able to confront what happened between him and his brother. See, I don't listen to Christians that don't have the ministry of reconciliation on their life. You're supposed to love one another, not just those that you don't have conflict with. Amen. True love is even when I get on your ever-loving nerves. Yes, sir. Even when you feel some kind of way about me. Yes. As a pastor, there's no way that I could do this if I did not love people past their faults. You wouldn't be able to last if you only hook up with people who never got on your ever-loving nerves. Let me tell you, for all of those of you that are single, let me come closer, come closer. He may have chest that is as big as the skyscraper. She may have hips that shape, you know, like I don't know what, but they still gonna get on your nerves. And there's still gonna be times when y'all gonna dislike each other, and there's still gonna be times where you're not gonna be able to just divorce right out of it in 3 seconds. No, that's not gonna work. So what are you going to do after you done signed them papers? You know, went down the line, da 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 da, da 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 da, da 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 da, and then 6 months later, you just gonna say, "Well, I just didn't sign up for this. I didn't sign up for this. I just don't understand what's going on today. Maybe I just need to call Sheila. Maybe I just need to call Bob." No. You got to love that person through the hills and valleys of life, because that's what makes you stronger. Now, think about your relationships inside of the body of Christ. Think about your relationships with people inside of this church. Can you love past the way you feel? So don't spiritualize conflict. Don't be like some. There's a disease that some of us have, and it's called infant. I'm sorry, I pronounced it wrong. I'm fine. Everything okay with you? I'm fine. Hair on fire? I'm fine. It's okay. It's all right. I was just watching Michael Jackson Thriller, and I just ran into the hot curly iron. It's okay. I'm fine. You about homeless. I'm fine. Everything's fine. You come to church and how you doing, sister? Everything's fine. I'm fine. Everything ain't good all the time. And you can't be so plastic in your presentation. Maybe you just really don't like people. Maybe you got problems. Maybe you have antisocial tendencies. And there's a reason for that. And maybe, just maybe, you need to tell somebody. Somebody can handle it. But let me give you some wisdom to that. Now there are some people who can handle you sharing your flaws, but not everybody you can share that with. Amen. You should only share your flaws. Let me help you. Ladies, the reason why sometimes it's good for you to have a friend, whether you're single or even married, for you to have strong men inside of your circle, is because all of y'all can't be emotional all at the same time. You start crying, the next person start crying, next person starts crying. Well, go ahead, girl. We all gonna quit him. Well, go ahead. All of us ain't gonna come back to church. So you have emotional turmoil after emotional turmoil. Somebody in there needs to say, come to your senses. This too shall soon pass. Be caught up in all of that. That's why I love the whole balance between male and female. Because men, we have a tendency to be able to steer the ship. As long as we're emotionally balanced, we can express our emotions, which is good. And that helps bring the woman into balance. But also, because we don't express our emotions, that woman's emotions also help us to be able to feel things so we won't be insensitive to the moment. I'm working with people on that right now. They're not sensitive to the moment. You at the dinner table, y'all already know where I'm going with this. You at the dinner table, and the person is confiding in you about something serious that's going on in their life. And then all of a sudden, you go to your phone, and you see this crazy video of a person who's short in stature jumping in the water, and it goes. You see it too? I did. It set me off on fire. And you reading that while that person's pouring out your heart, their heart to you. You can't be insensitive like that now. You need to put the phone away and at least just pretend like you're listening. So don't spiritualize comfort. Oh, how about this one? You going through and then you have one of them crazy people that be like, oh, Ibaba, everything's all right. I'm just blessing highly. All this other stuff. You want to be quiet. You ain't that spiritual. Be quiet. Stop flogging. I'm sorry, pause. I went back in the neighborhood for a second. I forgive me. Stop perpetrating. Everything isn't all right. Don't over-spiritualize. Glory, all right. I don't have no money right now, but I know God is a God of provision. No, you just didn't balance your checkbook. Don't over-spiritualize things. Number eight, covering over brokenness, weakness, and failure. Oh, Lord. Maybe this is you. I have a hard time speaking freely about my weaknesses, failures, and mistakes. I can't really talk about those things, you know. I'm going to poke the belly button of a man today. See, Daddy taught you that you shouldn't be weak in front of the family, that if you fail, you need to just brush it off as if nothing happens. You just need to be stone-faced. And that when you make mistakes, it is what it is. You don't lost $10,000 in an investment, but you still like this at the dinner table. Or the kids are screaming in the back of the car with at the top of their lungs and mama's trying to manage them, and you just like this. Ain't nothing wrong. But as soon as they say something, you just... So don't try to cover up everything. Amen. Sometimes you have to be able to say how you feel. Amen. You got to be able to say how you feel sometimes, or else you're going to pop. You're going to run your significant other, in many cases, a female, or your significant other as a spouse. Sometimes you're going to run them crazy because they're trying to get inside of your mind, but you're like, I'm going to make it mysterious for you. Don't worry. Everything is cool, baby. Just believe whatever I say is going to mean the best for the both of us. But on the inside, you're really upset about what Charles did at the job. You got to be able to say, you know what, Charles really, really, really made me mad at the job, and I really don't care for it. You know what, babe? I'm really scared about this upcoming interview. I think I'm going to fail. You know what? My body is changing. Now that I've gotten older, things ain't functioning like how they are, and maybe, just maybe, I don't feel like I used to feel when we first met. These are true emotions, and you have to be able to express those things. It's called being emotionally mature. King Saul was an individual who didn't like to express himself. He had a lot of pride. When things were going on and weren't going right in his particular life, versus him expressing how he felt towards God, towards the prophet, he went to go seek a witch of Endor instead to solve his problems. He said, rather than me confessing to God, I'm going to confess to somebody who's in witchcraft. So you mean that you're going to go, instead of coming to church, you're going to go to the tarot card reader in the middle of the mall? Talk about something. What's my future? I don't feel things are going right. Or you go back into Spencer Gibbs, or you get that black eight ball, and you begin to shake it. Should I like him? Yes, no, or maybe. Yes? That's not the answer I want. No? All right. Well, that's it. I'm just talking about me. That's what I used to do. So don't cover over your broken. And then number nine, someone say number nine. Coming around the mountain. Living without limits. Those close to me say that I often try to do it all or bite off more than I can chew. You mean you got to go for 3 PhDs and all in one semester? I had people like that I went to school with. They said, yeah, I'm doing a double major. I was like, man, I'm just trying to get through my minor right now. You doing a double major? Yes, yes, yes. I just believe this is just going to let me just go to the stars. I'm like, man, I don't even have the mental capacity just to get past this class. So be careful of doing too much. Overachievers. An example of this in the text is Moses. Moses' anger was kindled because he did so much for people that it frustrated him when they didn't reciprocate back. He struck a rock, and then, watch this, he could only go out to Mount Nebo and look at the promise, but because he was disobedient to God, he could not enter in. So don't try to do it all. You have to understand, as my bishop would say, the rhythm of life. Sometimes you're winning, and sometimes you're not even in the race. But just because you're not racing this weekend doesn't mean that you're losing. Why do you have to race everybody? I understand DJ Khaled said, all I do is win, 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 win. But even he has some rest between albums. Sometimes you don't have to race. So if football players and basketball players and teachers get a break, why can't you? Sometimes you have to take a time out, so don't try to do everything. And then last but not least, judging the spiritual journey of others. Lord, have mercy. Is this you? Is it you? Is it you? Is it you? In other words, I often find myself occupied and bothered by the faults of those around me. This is the people who like to do this outside of their eyes while they're sitting in that pew. Or in my old home church. Sheila ain't been here in a long time. Maybe there's something going on at the house. I don't know what's going on here. You a deacon. I don't know what's going on with deacon. What's wrong with his leg? Well, he shouldn't be ugly because you know God don't like ugly. What's going on with them in the back? Okay. Oh, he had to go back one grade. Well, maybe, just maybe, that person right there, if they would just praise and worship God more, maybe their household would be all right. Don't judge the spiritual journey of others. The people who did this oftentimes were scribes and Pharisees. This is what I would call, and this is the church folk, saved folk, don't fall into the trap of what I would call religious amnesia. Yes. Religious amnesia. In other words, this is done by those of us who are mature but forgot that we once were and lack. You missed it. We forgot that we once were, and such were some of you. So remember, when you were crazy and all out there, I had to go through a little bit of a test, and one of the people were asking me, they were going through my background check, and they were saying, well, you know, because I do an application for this particular position with the government, and they said, well, you know, I see here back in the late 90s, you had a whole lot of tickets. And I said, I was going through a lot of my life. I wasn't saved at that time. It was like, young man, you... what was going on at that time? You had like a stop line infraction, and then the next week you had a speeding infraction, and then the week after that you had a illegal lane change. I was like, man, I don't, first of all, I didn't know how I got all the money to pay all the tickets. My dad had to pay $1,500 in parking tickets for me to get my degree. Because I didn't give a flip where I parked at. I was like, I got to be to class on time. I don't care. Y'all ain't towing, so I'm going to park right here in my 91 Buick Skylark with the floor missing. Now, imagine if you met me when I was in my early 20s. Would you even have given me any type of time of day? You'd be like, what's wrong with you spiritually? There's something wrong with you. You need the Lord in your life. You need the Lord. You need Jesus, don't you? You need Jesus. And I probably would have shot you a bird. Go ahead. That was me. And so that's the reason why when you become mature and you become saved, when somebody else is a baby Christian, that you don't turn up your nose and act like you got religious amnesia. Because remember, when you were off the chain, remember when you got your first tattoo? You remember when you first got your tramp stamp? Oh, Lord. Brother Sean, you might have to escort me out today. Remember we got that tattoo across your chest because you want everybody to see? Like, moto, moto. I'm moto, moto. I'm sexy. So, unfortunately, as I close, King Solomon... King Solomon was never satisfied, and he was, as I would say, the ultimate overachiever. Everybody focus, we're almost done. He lost himself through the influence of his wife, who was from Moab, and gave to other gods and idolatry. He also lost his identity and never recovered emotionally because his focus was on how he felt versus how God felt about him. That's why you don't come to church based on your mood. Your moods will get you in trouble. Moods swing. God doesn't. So you don't come to church or the lack thereof based on how you feel all the time. It's not a mood-driven thing. Should God bless you based on his mood? Because I could tell you that he is upset with a whole lot of folks. But because of his grace and mercy, he still blesses you despite your inconsistency. So what's the answer, Pastor Martin? Well, let's follow the biblical pattern of freedom. First the natural, then the spiritual, then I'm going to get on out of your way. Or first practical life application. Because, you know, sometimes when you come to the church, especially if you haven't been for a while, you hear a lot of this Christianese or things that are happening spiritually inside of the house of the Lord. And sometimes as preachers, we say words that not everybody quite understands. So let's just make it plain. First, the natural. Here's some things that you can apply today. Number one, don't ignore how you feel. If you can name it, claim it. If you're angry, go to God about your anger. If you're upset, go to God about you being upset. If you don't know where to go inside of the Bible, ask somebody who knows. Number two, surround yourself with people who support you, not pacify you. One does not become emotionally and spiritually mature without being held accountable to the truth in love. So if you want to get better, you got to get around some folk that are not struggling in the same area that you are in. That's the beauty of the scripture when it says, do not judge, or judge not, lest ye be judged. How can you judge somebody with a stick in your own eye when there's a speck in your brother's eye? But that's why you need to surround yourself with people that don't have the same speck in your eye that you do. So if you don't have a problem with money, and I do, I want to be around you, because you can judge my situation much better. All right. Number three, just say no. Doing it all is not a badge of honor. Actually, it's a subtle version of pride, and it shows that you lack trust in your support system. You say you have friends, but you don't listen to nothing they say. They love you. They're even willing to pour out the Cavassier for you. They'll say, okay, girl, we'll do this one more time. One more time, but you need to come to church with me, all right, because I'm trying to get better myself. So trust people that love and care about you. Number four, there will be times when your emotions will be triggered. Don't react, respond. Amen. You see that? Don't react, respond. The last man that did this to me, the last woman that did this to me, and I just, oh, I never again, never again, never again. Baby, we're going to the mall. We're going to the mall. We're just going to get some underwear. That's it. Underwear and socks. We don't even have to go no more. We could just stay in the bed. But don't react, respond. And if you don't know how to respond, allow for God to show you how to respond. So sometimes you don't need to say anything on Facebook when you're feeling some kind of way. Keep your feelings to yourself and just holler at the TV, just like I said before. And then finally, take a break. I think this is where I'm going to end at. Sometimes it's good to get away. No, I'm talking about really get away. Sometimes you don't need to take the kids with you on this trip. Sometimes you need to go on a cruise by yourself if Charles is acting crazy at the house. It helps you to make it to the next time around. So you do need to take a break. Well, I can't afford to take a break. You could afford to walk around Lake Eola. Amen. You could walk by yourself with no money in your pocket and be at peace just for a few minutes and take a break. Well, I don't got no gas money. I'll give you a bus transfer, and you can go right out there on State Road 46 and look at all the lilies that are in the valley. Pastor Martin, they weeds. Just look at the yellow flower. Please, stop being so negative. In other words, take some time to smell the roses and take a break. Yes. I know people that have not been on no type of vacation for decades. But you got to take a break or you'll burn yourself out. Your emotional state will not be healthy if you don't give some time to yourself. And finally, Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 through 25, and we're done. It says, and this is the spiritual side. I gave you the natural. Those of you watching online, now here's the spiritual side. Here's the Bible speaking to us. It says, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. So there's a war that all of us have to go through, even the preacher in the front and in the pulpit. Verse 17, repeating, for the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, look at all these emotions, dissensions, factions, enviousness, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God, because those things are driven by the flesh or your desire, but it's not a godly desire. But this right here is a picture of true mental and emotional health. But the fruit of the Spirit is what? You read with me. Is what?
Love.
Next one. Peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. Let's keep on going. Gentleness, self-control. Stop right there. Self-control. Emotional control. You can't be the person that's in the middle of traffic because somebody cuts you off. You're going to get out of the car with the baby on your hip, with a gun in your hand, talking about something. Who next? Who next? Get your butt back in the car and sit down. You need to get to work on time. You need to drop the baby off to the babysitter. You can't act crazy like that. Get yourself under control. And I want to show you how. Against these things, there is no law. Now, those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Because every one of us has a desire to do crazy stuff, but you have a way to come against that. And then finally, verse 25, if we live by the Spirit, let us also what? Walk by the Spirit. Amen. Go ahead and put your hands together for the word of the Lord. Soul controller. Soul controller. And so I did a lot of things today that were lighthearted, but I also want to take a serious note that as a church, we do need to do a better job in our mental health area. As a person that used to be an occupational therapist with a minor in psychology, I understand temperaments, Jung's, all those different types of things that I studied over and over again in college. And these bodies that we have, sometimes, even as a saved person, when we've lived a sinful life, sin does something to our physiology of our brain. And so sometimes, even when we're saved, we still have to fight against our old selves. And that's a reality. That's why one of the ministries that we want to launch in the future is called Soul Therapy Family Wellness Clinic. So when you sow a seed, it also will be something that could be poured into. That's why we have people like Sister Amanda over there that went to school for behavioral sciences and behavioral health, and other individuals that have a love for people after the preaching stops. You see that? All right. So let's pray for, at this moment in time, for people who have mental issues, but they still say, Father, we thank you for this time. We ask you, Lord God, right now in the mighty name of Jesus, that you calm the mind of those that feel tormented even at this very hour. Lord God, let these thought processes and these things that are going on mentally, let them come up under subjection to your word and your way, Heavenly Father. Lord God, teach these, your people, how to understand who they are, how they came to be, what their background is, and even their emotional state. I pray right now, Lord God, for emotional and spiritual maturity so they could understand why they're going through, what they're going through, and how to take things when it's all over. Let them understand the difference between God teaching them a lesson and then consequences. Let them know, Heavenly Father, that they may be going through things in life right now, but that doesn't mean that it's permanent. Help them understand the moment. And Lord God, help them to express their emotions. It's not weakness to express what's going on with you, as long as you do it right and with you, Heavenly Father. Father, I ask you right now that if there's anyone in this place that knows what's going on but they need to be free from demonic oppression, Lord God, I speak a sweet peace that surpasses all human understanding. We cast out every demonic influence that may be afflicting the people of God. We ask you these things right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead and put your hands together for the Lord. God bless you. God keep you. The soul controller, and you could be in control. All right? All right. Well, hug somebody. Let somebody know that you're crazy, but I still love you. Hug somebody, embrace someone. Amen. Be blessed, people of God.